Tonight on Life on the Rock, we have our Walk for Life special. We'll see some highlights and much more. Welcome to Life on the Rock. Tonight is our Walk for Life special. We love going out there every year. We love seeing the faith of the people, the participants. We love standing up for life, meeting old friends. It's always a great time. And now we're going to show you some scenes from the Walk for Life. We're here with A Movement of Love Ministry with Joan West and Laura Lynn Hughes. And Joan, I was wondering if you could tell us about the ministry itself.
Well, in 2012, the Lord began to speak to me about the need for women in the church to be healed from abortion. He was impressing on me that there are women sitting every week in churches and they're in a lot of pain because of a prior abortion, and no one in the church is addressing their pain. So we started a ministry in our church in Fairfield, California, Liberty Church, and it's called A Movement of Love, because the Lord said to me, this is my movement of love towards them. So we started in 2012. We used some of the resources that were available at that time. But after several years of ministering to women, we felt like we wanted to write our own guide, and we were writing it specifically so that churches could start ministries and address the pain of the women that come every week to their services.
And you all have just come out with a book, Redemptive Love. Joan, tell us a little bit about this book.
Okay. So it's Laura Lynn. It's okay. So we wrote Redemptive Love, and it is a collaboration. Joan, myself, and my daughter Erica, who had a secret teen abortion that I didn't find out about for a long time, and she had received some healing and recovery. So the three of us wrote the book and collaborated on it, and it is included with scriptures and women's stories and therapeutic tools, and it's just been a wonderful process, a 12-week study where women come, and it's meant for like a small group, and we're getting to see so many people say that they've carried this burden for years. You know, we've had women from 20 to 70 who have found feeling. They finally say like things like, I'm free, and I never knew God loved me this much, you know, that he would take this kind of pain away from me, and it's been really wonderful to see.
And what aspect of the healing process have you found to be most effective?
In the healing process, a lot of it is that the women are in a small group and they hear each other's stories. And of course, it's only the Holy Spirit who can heal. And just seeing that process where it takes time for them to unwind what was going on in their life. And the therapeutic tools are very helpful because they go back into the time in their life and the relationships and situations that led them to believe the lies of abortion. And it's just been wonderful to see how they come in a little bit scared. And when they leave, they're like, their countenance is lifted and they find true healing.
And then they can turn around and be witnesses to others, right?
Yes. We have had women that have thought they were going to carry this secret to their grave. And it takes a lot of courage from women to show up and say, many of them, this is the first time I've admitted to another human being that I've actually had an abortion. And so the reason we call it redemptive love is because we see the redemption happen in their lives, the love of God that just floods their souls. And they realize that Jesus Christ went to the cross for the sin of abortion as well. And so it's quite amazing to see women that were bound be free.
And thank you.
This is my daughter here, the other co-author. I was pregnant with Erica at 15, and I know how important it is. I was raised in a really, really pro-life family, the pro-abundant life family, and would have never considered abortion. But when Erica was a teenager, she didn't have the same kind of hope that I had. And so she had a secret teen abortion and suffered the ramifications for years. And so her story as well went throughout as well. Her healing process, and because she's been in the psychology world and mental health and recovery, and she was a director at a pregnancy clinic in Napa, she's got a really well-rounded approach too. And that's what the women are really finding that sets redemptive love apart, is the therapeutic tools mixed with spiritual truth and then the love of God.
Well, keep up the good work. Thanks for talking with us. I'm here with Erica Henry from A Movement of Love. And tell us a little about your story.
Well, I was 17 at the time that I chose to have an abortion. I came from a family of faith. My grandmother has served in pregnancy centers. My mom was encouraged to pray about her choice whether to adopt me out or to raise me, because my grandparents were too old. So at the time that I was 17, my parents had been divorced, and I was kind of struggling, making some poor decisions in my life. And I saw my mother struggle after divorce, and I felt conflicted with bringing my child through the different adversities of single parenting. And so I made the egregious decision to abort my child, and I did that very much in secrecy. I told nobody other than a friend who helped transport me. And at the time, my mom, I know beyond a doubt, would have supported my choice, but I had my own personal choices and fears, which is, I've come to learn, often compel a lot of women to abort. And so with that choice, later in life, it very much motivated my decisions to make something of my life. And I struggled with the thought that I had to have recompense. You know, I had to have the ideal family, the ideal career. And I've served in capacities in the schools and as a social worker. I've served at pregnancy centers. But in order to get healing, I didn't realize how much my abortion, I had created some vows in my life that I wasn't allowing God's true forgiveness to free me. And so when my marriage was at strife, I went into some recovery groups. I have a therapeutic background in terms of counseling, and as I said, school psychology was my first career. And so I knew God could forgive me, but I couldn't realize that I was still holding myself on the hook. And so in recovery in my marriage, I thought that that was the biggest battle in my life. And then I realized much later, thankfully, our church developed a ministry called the Movement of Love in 2012. And I had already been in recovery groups for a few years. And when I walked through that healing and I could apply the same scriptures that I used to encourage my life, like he bottles up our tears. So many women don't understand or think that anyone could understand the pain, the grief, the regret, the guilt. And so when you apply the very scriptures that we hold dear when we lose somebody, and we apply it to our abortion pain, it really, really can transform women. So I'm blessed to say that I was able to be part of the group and get healing for myself. And we believe that not only does abortion hurt women, that healed women can heal women. And so after going through some studies, I then participated as a leader. And through that process, we traveled or through different curriculum, and we found different components that were good and things that were lacking. And our ministry, A Movement of Love, was able to create our own particular study that's called Redemptive Love, A Journey of Restoration After Abortion.
And I would imagine in the small groups, you know, sharing a common problem, so to speak, dealing with that and loving each other,
absolutely,
would awaken a belief that God could actually love you and accept his forgiveness, right?
100%. A lot of women show up doubtful, uncertain, and they may return because someone else has opened up their story. And where they lack self-compassion, they're able to have compassion for others. Yeah. And that bonds the group, and it creates trust for women to unveil things that they never even planned sometimes to share in the group.
Yeah.
Connected to the abortion, and we really believe that God heals the timeline of their life, not just the abortion experience, but different trauma in the relationships that were damaged, different betrayals that happened at that time in their life, that he really does a total restoration. So that's why we believe the power, it's the power of his redeeming love, yeah. Right?
Yeah, I love the combination there of with God and the scriptures, having that healing, the connection with others, though, is such a key thing, I think, in healing oftentimes. So thank you so much, Erica.
Thank you.
I'm here with Mauricio from Live Action. And let's start with your sign. It says, love them both. What does that mean?
Yes, yeah, so we are a pro-life organization, and we believe that in order to establish a culture of life in our country, we need to support the women, and we need to save babies from experiencing abortion.
And now you all are shifting very much to an educational mindset and activity, right, to try to educate people on the value of life and the philosophical foundations of the pro-life movement. Tell us about that. What does that entail, and maybe some of that philosophy?
Yeah, absolutely. Live Action is a media organization. It's a communications organization. We have been doing mostly work on social media, different social media platforms. Our mission is to change hearts and minds on abortion. But we believe that in order to influence the culture, in order to change the culture and have a culture that is supportive of life, we are now going upstream. And we are now educating people. Our programs this year is to focus on formation and education. So we're going to select the best students from across the United States. We're going to partner with university, hopefully a Catholic university, and we're going to establish a formation program, a fellowship program in Southern California to educate and form young people, college students, on the philosophical foundations of the pro-life movement and human rights.
And abortion has hit minority communities hard, and you speak Spanish, you're Hispanic, right? So is there a big outreach in the Hispanic community?
Yes, so Live Action primarily focus is in the United States and English language, but because we are getting a lot of demand from other countries, and Latin America and the Hispanic population here in the United States, we are now making all of our content available in Spanish and also in French, Italian, Chinese, Hindu, and Portuguese, and 10 of the most spoken languages in the world.
Yeah, think big. I like that. So you have a big social media presence, and I like going after the reasoning behind it. You know, we have the natural law, moral law behind us. The truth is, the human life in all stages has this inherent dignity, inviolable. And what are some of those things you would teach in that kind of philosophical foundations coursework?
Yes, so we believe that every single human life has intrinsic value, and that is given by nature alone, and of course God. But you don't need religion, and you don't need God to advocate for life. It's just nature. And we believe that life is the most important right, the fundamental right to the entire human rights movement.
Right.
Yeah, the entire Western civilization is based on the idea that human life has intrinsic value. And that's why for us it's very important to educate people and to advocate for life. We believe that is the most fundamental value here in the United States, is before property, before happiness, before everything else. It's the most fundamental right.
Abortion is the greatest human rights struggle today, without a doubt. And we can know that through reason. I think that's so important to emphasize. And therefore, we can legislate according to that, because it's applying to everyone. Our Catholic faith motivates us. How does your Catholic faith strengthen you in this fight?
Yeah, so the Catholic faith is in line, 100% in line with natural law. And for that reason, I support Catholic faith, and I support Catholic values to be promoted in our society. And it has a very important role in educating people and forming people on the right mindset and the right values.
And why is this issue important for you personally? What moved you to join this?
Yeah, that's a very good question. I had a personal experience with abortion or unplanned pregnancy. My mom got pregnant when she was 15 years old, and she had a lot of struggles with it. And that's my emotional experience, but also I had a rational experience. While I was attending the University of Texas, getting my master's degree over there, I experienced a lot of discrimination after they found out that I was a Christian Catholic. And because I couldn't defend myself, I didn't have the right formation, I decided to educate myself in Christian philosophy and Christian apologetics. And after understanding, after studying that, I realized that life is the most important value to advocate for.
Thank you, Mauricio, for talking with us. I'm here with Barbara Watson. You took a bus with your parish, Our Lady of Loreto in Novato, California. And I just want to hear some of your reflections, because you're a native San Franciscan. You graduated high school in the 60s. You've seen a lot of changes. And one you were telling about, like when you first got married, your experience with your doctor and how that compared to a later experience in the 70s.
That's right. Our first son was born in 69. And in 69, abortions were not common. And then our daughter was born 2 years later in 71 by the same doctors, the practice. And then that doctor retired. And then in 74, when our youngest one was, when I was pregnant with our youngest one, Brad, everything had changed. And abortions were more common, more acceptable. And I actually had an interview with that doctor to specifically ask them, were they doing abortions? And he said, yes, they were. And I decided I couldn't support that practice. So I looked for a doctor that was not performing abortions here in San Francisco. And it was hard to find, even at that point.
It was like 74?
74. And but I did find a doctor that, that was wonderful. Yeah.
You know, it's just the fact that things can change quickly. It can also change the other way. And I think with so many young people involved with these marches and things, that's a great sign of hope. A lot of young people are embracing the cause for life. They see the issues here. You know, another concern you had in your experience, maybe with family or friends, is this telehealth issue that you can get abortive drugs, right? Quite easily now.
Yes, that's right. That's what they're saying, is that actually abortions have increased after the reversal of Roe versus Wade. And I just found that so disheartening, so sad that that's happening. And the reasons for it is this telehealth. I had to find out what that word meant. Yeah. And it's where, maybe a girl in Texas who lives in a state that has an abortion ban can now reach a doctor in New York and have the abortion pill mailed to her. And she can do that abortion privately by yourself. And so that's one reason. The other reason is this increase in abortion travel, which I have to mention, the state of California, our own governor, is welcoming people from any state to come to Novato, to California for abortion. So we really have to work harder to convince our young people that the right way.
Yeah. You've lived through some dramatic history, right, in this country. I think about the peace movement in the 60s and everything, and the hippies, the changes that happened. How do you think these times, being a native San Franciscan, compares with the time you were growing up, coming of age?
Yes, well, you're right. I've lived through it all. I'm now in my 80s. And I have to say, my generation, I think, started all this, because it was a breakdown of the families, it was divorce, and this increase in abortions. But I hope now we've maybe turned a corner. First thing is realization of what's happening around us, and educating ourselves, but our young people, to educate them of the theology of the body and the sacredness of life. Right. Yeah.
There's such great evangelization being done, so many good materials being put out there. You know, arguments are being made, you know, strong philosophical arguments for the cause for life today. There's a big movement. And I would say the Christians aren't going away on this issue. You know, this is just part of our DNA. It's a gospel of life, right? So I think we're just going to keep pushing and pushing and pushing, and eventually, you know, hopefully we'll win this.
Right? Yes, that's the road, Father. That's the road.
Thank you, Barbara, for talking with us.
Thank you.
I'm with Eve Rosemary, and she's a young Catholic entrepreneur, we could say. You just graduated from Benedictine College back in December. You have a couple podcasts going and are a chastity speaker. Let's first talk about your chastity message and speaking to high schoolers. What's the core of what you're trying, the points you're trying to get across to them?
Really, I think that we sell chastity short. We think that it's a list of all these no's, no's to this relationship, no to that decision. But truly, I think chastity is more about learning that we have this level of self-respect that God calls us to, learning that our bodies really do matter and that our actions mean something. Just because these kids are in high school doesn't mean that the decisions that they're making don't matter. And I wish I would have gotten that message as a high schooler, that God's love is greater than I could have ever imagined. His intentionality for me is greater than I could have ever imagined. And so that's really the core message that I'm giving to these teens, is that their bodies matter and that they have a level of duty to themselves to really live out this virtue.
Yeah, and I think I remember in seminary they're teaching us that we're made in the image and likeness of God, that includes our bodies, not just our soul, and that by the incarnation, Jesus taking on human nature, human flesh, speaks of the great importance of bodiliness. Yeah, it matters what we do with our bodies. There's a consequence, there's formation for our inner life. So that's a powerful message. Yeah, we have this tendency kind of to disconnect and just have this kind of spiritual, ethereal, I don't know if it's Gnostic, you know, but it's like discounting the body today. How's the message received?
It's been received really, really well. I think, you know, I'm only 21 years old. So when I come into these high schoolers, they haven't seen a girl their age giving this message and actually living it out. You know, I've been in a relationship for 3 years. We're both still waiting for marriage, and being able to share that testimony and just share the power that Jesus has worked in my life, even from a young age, that we don't have to wait for our relationship with God. It's something that we can take seriously. And I've gotten messages from teens. I've gotten messages from parents after the talk, just expressing that these teens walk out with the biggest smile on their face, because not only did they walk away with learning this new perspective on relationships, but I've had teens reach out and say, I walked out because I knew that God loved me. And that's the greatest gift that I could ever give to anyone.
And what motivates you? You studied theology and entrepreneurship at Benedictine, but what's your inner motivation for it?
Oh, man. I mean, I've grown up doing a lot of public speaking. I was involved in Miss America. I actually competed at Miss America's Teen in 2021. So I did a lot of public speaking growing up. But then once I started talking about my faith, I knew that there was something different. And when I sit in adoration and I sit before the Blessed Sacrament and I experience that silence that's there, that's always where I want to bring teens to, is that silence and that intimacy with God. So that's truly my motivation for all of it.
I love that point about, yeah, how do we pray? What do we do in adoration? You know, silence is important, and also, is it talking to God, talking about maybe what's going on?
Yeah, I mean, there's a balance to it, too. I think prayer, more than anything, is just about aligning our will to the Lord's will and learning that He wants to know everything about it. I mean, He already knows everything about us, but He actually does want to hear from us, too. And the greatest reality that we can face is when we're in prayer. Everything else is our life, but we're faced with the truest reality of who we are and who we belong to when we pray. And so when I talk to teens about prayer, more than anything, it's just about setting all else aside and connecting with who knows you best, and that's who created you, and that's the Lord. He's our definition of love.
You're 21 years old, you're working with young people. What do you see as their big challenge? Is there some lie they're believing or some way they've been particularly wounded that you've noticed or experienced?
Man, I think we have grown up in a really angry culture. There's just a lot of angst in our world, and so often we don't realize that, like, the solution to that is love. As cheesy as that sounds, as and as basic as that sounds, that when we find out what true love is, when we find out the truth, there's, you know, that sets us free. That really does set us free. And even as a chastity public speaker, I've seen a lot of family wounds, a lot of people who didn't grow up with a good example of loving parents, who don't even know that love is meant to be selfless and generous. And the greatest example of that is Jesus on the cross. So whenever I talk to these teens about love and fighting that anger that we see in our society today, I always point them to the cross, because that's our definition of love. And to tell them that they don't have to be afraid to be parents. They don't have to be afraid to build up the family life. I mean, we're at the March for Life, or the Walk for Life today in San Francisco, and it wasn't until recently that I learned and really realized that I don't have to be afraid to be a mom either. Like, I don't have to be afraid to pursue that, and that's actually a really good desire, is to desire that true love.
Well, thank you so much for your witness. 21 years old. That's impressive. You're very eloquent. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
So we showed you some interviews there that we didn't air in the original coverage, but there's always so many great witnesses of faith there. It's always an encouragement to me. And also, too, that it's in the culture of San Francisco, right? That's a very liberal culture. You know, they've committedly to pro-choice, pro-abortion rhetoric. So it's great to go out there and hear from the faithful, because there are a lot of faithful out there, and there's a culture of their own that they're proud of and they're willing to witness. So now I'll send you to that vineyard with a blessing. May our Heavenly Father shine His face upon you. May He give you His peace. May He fill you with His Holy Spirit, that you may witness to life with boldness and new courage. May God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We'll see you next week on Life on the Rock. But I